We have U.S. Representative Marie Newman with us right now. She's a Democrat with the 3rd District of Illinois. Representative Newman, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you, and good to be here.
That's nice to have you. So the Supreme Court has issued three very, very serious, I guess everything coming out of the Supreme Court is pretty serious, but today they issued a ruling on prayer, and they said it was okay for the coach of a game to school, I think it was a high school game, to lead prayer services afterwards. We obviously had the Roe versus Wade decision, and we had the gun decision, three sort of monumental things. What are you thinking about those?
Well, I think that I'm disturbed that this court is clearly communicating that it is okay to be biased. The last bastion of nonpartisanship in our government structure has been very clear that they are a biased entity. And that's very disturbing at a macro level. But breaking that down into those three decisions, Roe v. Wade, their decision on Roe v. Wade is clear. A, they don't trust women. B, they no longer revere freedom as a core principle to America. And then lastly, that they don't revere privacy. So you know, that there's this court has embarrassed itself. I want to be clear.
You know, it's interesting because when I wonder how Senator Collins is feeling. I guess she said she feels misled, but I don't know. It feels like after the first couple of times when you've been misled, you probably would not be misled again. But she feels like she was misled by what the Supreme Court nominee said in their hearings. And here we are on the other side, and now we're seeing the results of this. Is any of this a surprise to you, the way that this has all played out?
No, and I think that Senator Collins is full of horse hockey. She knew how this was going to go down. She absolutely knew how this was going to go down. So did Manchin. They were incredibly transparent in their veneer and highly cloaked phony responses when they were being interviewed. So, this is not a surprise. And I'm not surprised that Susan Collins is acting like she's surprised.
I don't know that anybody's surprised by that. It's true. Because what other response would she have? You know, she could only, you know, either you're surprised or you're like, yeah, I knew that was coming. So that, right? I mean, I don't know. Those are the two options. You know, when you think about this, the Supreme Court, and I think that, you know, there was such a, there's been a, according to the Republican Party, a longstanding 50-year movement to get the Roe v. Wade overturned. But they've been, you know, really pushing forward, according to their own statement this morning, taking credit for this on a variety of issues. And I think that all of these really fall into that purview in one way, shape or form. You know, the Republicans have been pushing gun control. The Republicans have been pushing a Roe v. Wade reversal, and they've been pushing, you know, for more prayer in the schools. And I'm just wondering how you see this playing out over, you know, say the next 5 to 10 years, because nothing really happens quickly when it comes to politics. But as you look out, what do you think is going to happen?
I think we really have to put pressure on President Biden and Senator Schumer to get a set aside on the filibuster. We have got to get a carve out filibuster for rights-based bills and legislation. That's one. And what that would allow us is to pass the Women's Health Protection Act, which would enshrine formerly known as Roe v. Wade. And so we must federalize that. And if we get a set aside or a negotiated carve-out filibuster, that's critical. So that can happen through executive action or through a negotiated process through Senator Schumer, McConnell, and others in leadership in the Senate. Senate is the problem right now. Secondly, we need to expand the courts. We have done this in prior decades, and it has worked well. So we should expand the court as soon as possible. And again, that would require the filibuster. The filibuster is at the bottom of all of this, because in order to get anything passed in a simple majority in the Senate, we absolutely have to get the carve out. So we would pass WHPA and then also the expansion of the courts. But what everybody can do, including myself, is help get pro-choice senators elected ASAP. If you aren't already volunteering for, whether you're texting for them or you are phone banking or you are walking doors or donating to great Senate options that are pro-choice, you must do that right this very second. Start now.
So, you know, when you think about the expansion of the court, which has been something that President Biden has shied away from, do you think that the president has actually handled that correctly?
I don't, you know, I revere the president. He's done an outstanding job on almost every front, but we do, just like any group of people, I disagree with him. I think that expanding the court is the only way we're going to bring that entity back to an unbiased, nonpartisan entity again. I mean, I don't see any other path forward. This court is just overwhelmingly conservative, and I have to tell you, anti-constitutional. These last three decisions that you just itinerated, Elise, make it clear that they don't care about the Constitution. You know, when they say they're originalists or they're constitutionalists, that is, again, a bunch of horse hockey, because if they were, they wouldn't have decided the way that they did on these matters.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think that there really isn't sort of a way to keep the court from seeming political this going forward. It doesn't matter, because if Biden expands it, they're going to accuse him of court packing with Democrats, and you know that those people are only to the left, and now you've got all these, you know, judges there to the right, and it's just, you know, I think really, really difficult to get to a place where you're going to be able to get people to believe that the court is really all about the law and not really about all of these other, you know, kinds of things. Marie Newman, thank you so much for being with us today. You know, we appreciate your views. And, you know, as we go forward, it'll be very interesting to see how this all plays out on both sides. It is just, I think this is the great tragedy in my mind, is that, you know, everybody looking to anybody who's going to join the Supreme Court from here on out, is the first thing they're going to say is, are they a Democrat or a Republican? And, you know, when you look over some of the past issues and where, and I mean like 20, 30, 40 years ago, where Republicans voted for things that are considered to be very liberal today, and the liberals voted for things that are considered to be very conservative today, it's unfortunate that we're not going to get back to a place where the law comes first.